The amount of effort and energy that we give in service toward God and in service to others begin and end with how much we decide to think about God and be changed from the inside out. In other words, to put it in another way, as true believers, we are in a process of transformation. We are being changed. So let me ask you, having made that statement, just how much are we changing and becoming more and more like God on a daily basis? And you know, brethren, there are a number of ways that can tell us how we are doing. In other words, there's a lot of different things that we could take a look at ourselves and see. Are we really changing? When we allow God to transform us by renewing our minds, then our emotions or our feelings and the depths of our hearts will change. If we have noticed, this is something that I think is really interesting, if we will notice it in this way. If we've ever noticed that when we analyze this and think about this, that what we think on has changed, and how we feel about things that have changed, then what happens is we have probably also noticed that our behaviors have also changed in some really sincere ways also. So if our thinking has changed, if our feelings, our emotions have changed, then we also should recognize that our behavior also changes. I think we've probably all can state that we have noticed that God goes straight to our hearts to get to know us. God wants to know us. God, put it another way, God does know us. And one of the quickest ways that God gets to know us is to take a look at our hearts. Once the heart has changed by Almighty God, our words and our actions will change also. We can depend upon that as being a reality. The power of the Holy Spirit is available to work out this process in our lives. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Go with me back to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, first part of the verse only, it says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And see, and that's why God goes straight to the heart to find out how we are. Has our heart changed? Yes or no. Is our heart changing? Yes or no. And that's what God wants to know. Because we are in a process of changing, a transformation. I also hope that we all know we are responding to the grace that God has given to us by changing, by being transformed from the inside out. And so it is happening, and it's being done by the grace of God. And that's a very important thing for us to realize and to understand. So one of the things that I'd like for us to discuss today about this transformation is, how sincerely are we responding to God's many blessings? Let me rephrase that. Let me restate this. How sincerely are we responding to God's many blessings? Are we serving God by giving of what God has given to us? There's no way that any of us would doubt that God has given us so many things, so many blessings, And I'm not even necessarily even referring to, you know, wealth or finances or any of those kinds of things. I'm talking about gifts. I'm talking about, you know, gifts that he's given to us. I'm talking about us. Gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's given us. He's given us time. He's given us energy. He's given us life. He's given us so many different things, as well as physical, financial blessings as well. The subject of giving involves our entire being, and we need to recognize that from the very beginning. It involves our entire being. It is about who we really are before God. As we look at this subject of giving today, or this concept of giving is what I'm entitling this, let's focus on having a heart after God's own heart. God was a giver. God is a giver, and we're to be like God. Do we understand that the Bible leaves a great space for us to put forth our own effort? Do we understand that? Hopefully, the Bible is our authority for our thinking, our feeling, and our behaving. The Bible has a lot to say about giving. Giving is something we can do. Although giving is not our door to salvation, because only Jesus Christ is the door to our salvation, this topic of giving is important. It's also a subject that I don't think I have ever given a sermon on. In this discussion, in this important discussion that we're going to take a look at today, I would like for us to think about giving money to be one of the last things that we focus on. Please understand, this sermon is not about money. Yes, money is included in giving. This sermon is about giving. And that's the concept. That's what we're going to focus on. Today we're going to take a look and we're going to read two biblical examples that I believe we can use as tests to administer to ourselves so that we can evaluate our own personal approach to giving. Do we stand up to the test, to the standard? Two separate examples we're going to look at. Now, before we consider these examples in the Bible, let us ask ourselves some important questions about how most people give, and about how we deal with giving at this time. How do most people give, and how do we give? As Christians, hopefully we are not typical givers. Why do most people that we know give anything? Why do they give? What are some of the typical motivations? Well, let's take a look at some possible explanations why people give. Maybe some people give because there is a dire need that they've heard about, so they give. Maybe some give because others are watching and expecting that they give. Maybe some give to get something back. Maybe some give to get something from God. And there are many other similar reasons why people give that you can think up on your own. But I have some other questions that I'd like to focus on, and I like to think about these questions. Does God have to dictate every activity of our giving? Must there be some rule or some law made so people are forced to give? Must there be strong peer pressure? Must people have someone watching? Now, these are thought-provoking questions, right? I mean, these are questions that are serious questions. and they could sound so simple. But all of these are possible reasons as to why people give. We're still looking at why do we give? Must we have a human to whom we give an account in some way for what we give? How much does God enjoy the person who always requires a heavy hand in order to give? More questions. When we give of ourselves, and I mean time, effort, ideas, public service, quiet alms, secret alms, secret prayers, or money, or whatever it may be, when we give of ourselves, do we give because we must, or do we give because we want to? I mean, let's just stop on that one. We give time to our prayers. Why? Because a minister has said, you need to be praying at least so many minutes every day, or you need to be praying, or you need to do this, you need to do this. Or is it because we greatly desire to do so? Why do we give the time in prayer? Why do we do it? Do we give grudgingly or with a thankful, cheerful heart? Is there any area of our lives that is not given over to God in complete submission and true service? And I have one more question. If God were to analyze every area of our lives at this moment, would there be one area where we would not be generous? It could be in time, effort, prayers, time and Bible study. It could be anything. Is there one area where we would not be found generous in our giving? I understand, brethren, these are tough questions. I understand that. I have to ask myself these questions also. But they are at the very heart of true Christianity. If you really think about them, it's at the real heart of true Christianity. We find one of our great examples of giving is in the book of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, here, the Apostle Paul is writing about the brethren in the churches of Macedonia. Now, apparently, when you read this account, apparently, Paul was very pleased with them for their generosity. And then what he was doing here is he is exhorting others based upon this wonderful example of the Macedonian brethren that others of us would take a look at their example and do likewise. So let's take a look at this example. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He said they were poor and they liberally gave anyway. And he says from the very beginning of it, it's because of the grace of God, which is what we talked about at the very beginning. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, let's take a look and let's notice several important points in this passage in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5. We read in verse 5 that the Macedonians, it says, gave themselves first to God. Please understand here at this point, that statement probably deserves a sermon all by itself. giving ourselves first to God is the most important step we can take in right giving. When you talk about giving, this one has to come first. The giving first of ourselves to God. The gifts that we are giving to God and to others are extremely affected by our relationship to God. God wants us to give ourselves most of all. We are what God paid for with the life of His Son. It's not our wealth. It's not our money. It's not any of that. It's us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him may not perish, but have life eternal. Will have everlasting life in the family and the kingdom of God. He gave Jesus Christ for us. And us here is not just us as part of this congregation, part of this organization, but as part of the human race. He gave it for all of us. Brethren, if we have given ourselves to God first, then understand this. All of our other kinds of giving will be blessed by God. If we give ourselves first to God, all other kinds of giving that we give will be blessed by God. There are several other important concepts that we can learn from this example about the Macedonians. The Macedonians also gave without coercion. They didn't give because they were forced to. They gave because they wanted to. In fact, what we see is they were joyful. They were enthusiastic. And they were very assertive in wanting to give. Another thing to see about them in this example in 2 Corinthians here is they also gave even when they themselves were in deep poverty and affliction. Well, I don't have anything to give, therefore I'm not going to give anything. That wasn't their approach. It wasn't their attitude. They were truly generous with what they had to give. And again, remember, if you're going to be thinking giving, you're going to tie it to money, put it at the very end of our list. Because that's what we tend to think first. Put it at the end. What do you have that you can give? What the Macedonians had, they were willing to give. And that's an important thing to understand. We would also do well to say that their giving approach was very pleasing to God. God was very, very happy with it. Evidently, they were exhibiting a heart something like God's own heart. They gave, and they gave cheerfully. They gave willingly, and so did they. This is what God does. This is what Jesus Christ does, and this is what the Macedonians did. So what about us? How about us? Can we match the Macedonians in their way of giving? Because, brethren, you see, God is very interested in how we go about giving. Is it really what we give that's really the important thing? Or is it the approach, the how we give? What is the attitude behind it? And I think that is the most important thing. God certainly has the capacity to give us whatever it is that we need. If we have lack in something, God has the capacity to take care of that and to give that, you know, to us, whatever it is that we have need of. God even shows that He is able and willing to give whatever we need so that we can abound in every good work. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll read that in just a moment. God's purpose is to increase the fruits of the righteousness he is creating, that he is creating within us. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and beginning in verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Not because he has to, it was demanded, or any other reason. Not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a person who gives with the right heart and right attitude. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Verse 9, I referred to this earlier. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He says that's what he's doing. That's his purpose. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for fruit. He's looking for growth. Growth here in righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want or the needs of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. In other words, you give, there's the need, but it's given as a cheerful giver, it's given with great thanksgiving to God. That whatever it is that we have, whatever it is, we give in a way with thanksgiving to God that he has blessed us with this, and then he's blessed the attitude that we can give this in a right way. It's the heart. It's the heart. It's not just the giving. It's the heart that God is looking for. And that's what we see in the example of the Macedonians. They gave. And they gave with the right heart. And God blessed it. Another strong example of giving is found in Mark chapter 12. So if you will go to Mark chapter 12 with me. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 41. Mark 12 and verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which was a farthing. Okay, put it down in today's terminology, we're talking about a half a penny. Okay? It's not much. Some commentaries will give it as much as a nickel. Is it the amount? We see that through this example here and how Jesus Christ treated this example. Verse 43, and he, Jesus, called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than all they which had cast into the treasury. Wasn't about the amount. Verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, their overage, the extra. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Do we grasp? Do we truly grasp what Jesus is actually asking here? This widow was giving all. In essence, this widow was casting herself into God's hands. in essence, this widow was giving herself. And what does God want? He wants us. It's not about the money. He wants us to give ourselves totally, completely, wholly to God. And that's why this example is so powerful. Now, as far as we know, God has not required that very many people give all the money and all the possessions and everything that they have to follow him. Now, we know there's a couple of, you know, there's an example of the rich young ruler. He offers him something so much greater than whatever wealth he had. One account of this is in all of the Gospels and in Luke 18, verses 29 and 30. He says, give what you have, give what you have to the poor and come and follow me. What was he offering to him? To follow Jesus Christ. Okay, let's put it in this way. We have this vernacular in our term today. Boy, I would give my right arm to be able to do such and such. What would you give if you know what you know today and you were put back in history and you could give whatever you had to follow Jesus Christ? What would you give? Is there any question? What do you have? What do you want? You have it. To be able to follow Jesus Christ with what you know today. And so he offered him that. And he went away very sad because he had great riches. We also have Peter, who cites an example of when he's talking about himself, and he says, but Lord, he's implying the disciples. I think in the context it is referring to the 12 at the time. He says, we gave everything up to follow you. Okay? We don't really have a lot of examples where God has required that you give all the money, all the possessions, everything that you have to be able to follow God. But what we do have is Jesus does require that we give. God wants us to give of what really matters to us. And the one thing that so many people have the major problem with in giving are then the giving up. You know, because if you're giving something, you're giving up. And that, if you see about it in that sense. And what is that? Self. It's the hardest thing to give. And in essence, it's the really only thing that God wants. That's what he wants. He wants us. When we give ourselves to God, then God knows he has all the rest anyway. So what are you willing to give? Let me kind of shift a little. Let me ask you a question. What do you think is the most blessed motivation for giving that we can possibly have? I know this is a question that's sort of like, guess what the teacher is thinking? You know, because you can come up with so many things, and I understand that, but it's a good question. And brethren, the answer is to give in response to God's example. In other words, we give in response to God's grace and his love that he has toward us. You see, God gives and gives and gives. Because God is the giver. And he wants us to be just like he is. The kind of giving God really loves is that giving which is a response to the blessings that God generously pours out on us. Because God is a loving, gracious, giving God. That's who He is. And a right relationship with that God makes us come to the place that we desire to give whatever to make God happy. We come to the place that we desire to give to further God's purposes. What does God want? That's what our desire becomes. We come to the place that we desire to give to be just like God. I asked a question again, what would you give to be in the presence of Jesus Christ? What would you give to be just like God? And the answer is, me. Because that's what He wants. Giving to others. If we follow the example of our giving God, will flow from a heart full of thanksgiving to God for His unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. What is the unspeakable gift that God has given to us? To one day be in the presence of God. To be just like God. And that will extend to joyful thanksgiving. That is, just knowing that, it is to propel us forward into that kind of thinking, to extend to joyful thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 12. And the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. It's going to be just, we can do things for one another, and as a result of that, the attitude is going to come back. When our attitude is right of giving of self in the right way, we're going to be so thankful to God. But is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. We're going to be thanking God and thanking God and thanking God that He's allowed us to do this, that He's given us the wherewithal to be able to do it. He's given us the mind. He's given us the strength. He's given us whatever it is, the time, the energy, the life force, the whatever it is that we can give to God in this way. In other words, we thank God that we're able to give of me, of self, to God. Brethren, the way we give is certainly a test of how much we really want to be like God. When people give to get some type of reward, they give something because they want some type of reward to come back in the here and the now, they often get just that. That's what they get. That is the reward. When people give to be seen of men, that quite often is just what they get, to be seen of men. That's it. That's all there is. When people give because they are forced to give, they themselves may find no benefit. But brethren, we only obtain a right reward when we give out of a right heart. When we give, we can ask ourselves a few questions. Then as a result, we can make sure that our answers are a cheerful yes. So I have some more questions to analyze and to think about. I guess you've already seen that this is one of those really thought-provoking type questions that we really need to be thinking. This is something that we internalize, we take our notes, we go home, we really think about it, we analyze self. Where are we in all of this? So I have some more questions. Am I giving myself first to the Lord? See, the answer is either yes or no in that one. Because you can only give something, you can only give one thing first. Only one thing can be in first position. Am I giving myself first to the Lord? Am I giving without coercion? Am I giving without external pressure, without prodding or prompting? Next question. Am I enthusiastically seeking the privilege of serving the saints? Am I sincerely seeking opportunities to give to the saints? And am I truly being generous with what God has given to me? In the end, when all is said and done, reminds me of a statement I heard one time, when all is said and done, more is said than done. Typically, more is said than done. But when all is said and done, we want to do all of our giving from a mind and from a heart and from a lifestyle that are all being completely transformed by God to be like God. Are we doing what we're doing? The end result is that we want to be like God. If we're doing it for other reasons, then God isn't first in our giving. Brother, I'd also want each one of us to please understand this. Being transformed is its own reward. What I mean by that is, being like God is the reward. Being like God is the reward. Can anybody come up with a better reason for giving whatever it is that we do of giving? And the answer is, of course not. Being like God is the reward. And one other thing that I want to state in regards to that is, we can only do this by the grace that God gives to us. What are you willing to give to God? The Aaronic blessing. Speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you. God bless you all.